Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Anthony Saint Show, Bluff City Media. I do need to relay one quick thing, Jason, to Brad, and that is that our man Tyler was listening. Mm-hmm. And he said he will bust your ass anytime you want it. Brad.
No, that's my former career. I retired.
Oh, so
he'll never have that moment back ever.
He'll never get a chance for redemption?
I retired.
I think you got to give him a chance for redemption.
It'll never happen. You got to own that, bro. Now, don't come and kill me, but...
he's not going to do that, but he did say he's going to bust your ass next time he sees you.
Well, sorry, bro. You're not getting a chance. I retired.
Also, Goodman has an update on PJ Haggerty. That's kind of interesting. We'll get into that and a whole lot more in the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is busy. As busy as ever. Don't believe the headlines nationally. Locally, business is booming in Memphis. And if you're on the market for a home or if you're ready to be on the market with your home, you shouldn't do anything before you reach out to the team at the Live Love Group. Sold at livelovememphis.com. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. They're going to help you find the home of your dreams.
I don't know how this is happening all the time. Y'all probably getting the same thing, just getting calls left and right about, you know, investors wanting to buy your home for next to nothing. What I usually tell them before I hang up is, no fool. If I was going to sell my home, it'd be with Jennifer Carstensen. Don't you know you're wasting your time calling me? If you'd like to sell your home for top dollar, you call 901-625-5200. As John said, she's really good at what she does. What I appreciate most is how she simplifies things, make them easy to understand, and then goes out and gets everything on the table when it comes to every last dollar for your home. And she's going to find, if you'd like, she can help you on that side too, your dream home, and put you in a great situation like she's done for me. Change my life. That's no exaggeration. She can change yours. 901-625-5200 to Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Every day at this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. So I do think it's one thing when media, whether local or national, are having a conversation about Ja and saying the Grizzlies would be best fit to trade him. It's one thing to listen to those conversations. I think most of them we come away with, especially that one sane reference, the Orlando conversation, came out of a program that covers the Magic. You know, there's not a ton of credibility in those. But when John Hollinger, formerly of the Grizzlies front office, now back at the Athletic, now as a writer, is saying that league executives are saying, yeah, Grizzlies going to have to move on because they haven't gotten the centerpiece right, I do think, you know, they're a little bit more credence to what's going on. I think before even talk about what John wrote here and what the execs said, I think it's important to note, and we should up front, John and I are of the belief that right now you can't touch Ja. We don't need to go through all the reasons, but if you are going to, I think we do agree, you got to do something with this three.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Ja you're moving. He's the box office. He's the one on the floor against OKC that when you felt like you had a chance,
yep,
he was the reason, right? And no, he hasn't played enough. Yes, he's made poor off-the-court decisions. There's still a chance as he goes into year seven, I would say. Right, he grows out of those things, that you get the star that you've seen the flashes of, and he stays there. There's still that chance. Remember, I would just say it's not the same. It's not completely the same, probably not even apples to apples. But Steph, for a long time, was doubted because of the ankles. Remember, there was a time where people had written him off because he couldn't get over these ankle injuries and thought, okay, he's going to be limited in his career. He got through that point. My point is more just there can be seasons, right, of growth, of development, of whatever else. All guys don't develop the same, whether that's from a maturity standpoint or from a basketball standpoint. And that potential we know is still there. Plus, Ja signed, you know, on a deal right now, unlike with Jaren, that you don't have coming up and you don't question whether this is going to be too much money for him. All that said, get the centerpiece right is one of the keys that the Grizzlies, the four keys Hollinger's pointed out. They haven't gotten the centerpiece right in Ja that has kept them from, you know, maintaining that upward trajectory that you once had 2-3 years ago to look like. By far, Morant was the biggest lightning rod for execs explaining why Memphis hadn't taken another step forward. In their view, Morant's lack of dependability for health, for shooting, for defense, for leadership, for avoiding entirely avoidable suspensions makes it impossible to build a team around him. There are multiple league execs who think it's impossible still at this point in his career. Even when you know that when he's out there, everybody else is better. In a way that I guess you could make the case for that for Trey for that 1 year they made the run. But other than that, you haven't seen it. You know, again, Ja, whether it's been suspension, more recently injury, just hasn't been on the floor enough. But that is there. And so it surprises me that, you know, of the main things he said that kept the Grizzlies from taking the step forward, most league execs believe it is Ja, not Jaren. Right, who's, yes, a great big man, but flawed in the sense that he's not the walking double-double that other max bigs are, and not Desmond Bane, although Bane came up, who is, most would agree, for what he gives you, and particularly what he doesn't defensively, he's awfully high paid.
Yep.
They point to Ja as being the thing. And so, again, I like to dismiss. I don't mind dismissing at all the conversations that, again, whether local media, whether you're spectrum, because I don't, you know, there's, with all due respect, there's only a few of those opinions that I think are going to be informed by league execs and what's actually going on. That's what I'm more interested in, and I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that Hollinger seems so, that he talked to so many who thought that this was it's a dead end with Ja. That said, we're not there. He also pointed to the fact that you used, what, 3 first-round picks, 2 to bring him in, 1 to send him out, Marcus Smart. Remember, that was supposed to be a deal that really solidified you on the perimeter, that third guy, coupled, you know, coming back, hopefully going to have a healthy season for you, but then coupled with the final piece, which was your draft pick, Zach Edey, in the middle. This was supposed to be a contender. This was supposed to be a top-4 team. So the Smart, and especially for the future and what you've lost in assets, certainly a deal that hurt you, but I don't need to go through all 4. By far and away, Ja is the story here, and the lack of belief in from league executives, at least the ones that Hollinger talked to, in that he is the guy to lead you forward. He talks about working around the fringes if you bring back all 3 guys. An approach that I don't think is necessarily doomed to failure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think there's – but much of that, as you have said and as we've talked about, will be framed around Jaren and whether he makes All-NBA. Now, at one point this year, it looked like pretty much a lock. Some of the ballots have come out. He's not on a ton of them. So we'll see. I'm starting to think it's less likely now. But what it feels like is – not what it feels like. I even heard Harrington chime in on this with Jeff after I got off. You actually have more flexibility if he makes All-NBA. If he makes All-NBA and you get to pay him now, you're still on his current contract money next year, which gives you the flexibility, Santi, Kennard, whatever you want to do there, some other moves.
Yep.
If he does not, then you got to do the extension right now, basically raise and extend, and that starts now.
Yeah.
Meaning next season. Leading you to less flexibility with the roster.
Yep.
And so, in a way, even those of us that, you know, think that the actual biggest elephant in the room might be, you know, Jaren, maybe in a way, I don't know, Bane, you want him to make All-NBA because there's more flexibility there,
right,
with the rest of the roster.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, you're not paying that until, what, 26, 27.
Right.
After his last year of this deal
right.
next year.
Right.
More flexibility.
Yeah.
So, but the one thing about Hollinger's article before I have you, before is that he really glosses over Jaren, man. I mean, it's almost like Jaren's, and remember, again, and he points it out, it's not, you know, he was in the front office exactly. that drafted him, but the idea that Jaren is some perfect player just because he was, you know, could make an All-NBA this team this year or, you know, second team All-Star, because there's now a body of work in the playoffs that suggests he's not that level at all.
No question.
And he's
That was conveniently ignored.
Most max bigs are walking double-doubles. Tell me one that is not. And right. so there was a glaring omission to me. He dove into Ja all the pros and cons, Bane the pros and cons. He didn't really – Jaren, he just seemed like, this done deal, let's wrap this up. And, oh, by the way, he used the scenario that Jaren makes it – he went both ways, but point was – awfully still high, and we can understand why, and kind of glossing over Jaren's clear deficiencies going into his eighth year and how, you know, you're going to be paying max-level dollars for a guy that's not a max-level big at this point. Yes, a good player. Special player in many ways. Impact on both sides of the floor. But to gloss over that, I thought was a little bit misleading.
There are not a lot of bigs that are on that Supermax. I think Embiid is on it.
Mm-hmm. I think Cat is on it, I want to say. And he was second in the league in rebounding for as soft as we call him.
Jokic, obviously. Mm-hmm. He got 5 years, 276.
It's the big dogs, bro.
The biggest of the big dogs, you know.
They're all double-doubles, even Cat, who is soft.
No, I mean,
but,
that's...
But Cat would throw up his, 12.5 rebounds per game this year
and,
to Jaren's 5, and, 6, whatever it was.
Scoring prowess.
I mean, what are you talking about?
I mean, he's...
Yeah, I can't. He didn't show a ton of it against Detroit like he should have. But yes, Cat can go off. We know that.
Yeah, he didn't play well last night. But he had what, 2 30-point games in that series? You know.
Yeah, yeah. So. And the other ones were garbage. But no. Cat is that. He's a walking double double. And we have given him a ton of grief over here.
No, he's not the most consistent guy.
But
there's
if
no.
If you're
doubt.
Gonna call Cat soft, okay. Well, is Cat backing down Alex Caruso or what? I mean, that's if we're gonna call Cat soft.
Yep.
He averaged 12.5 rebounds a game this year. Our big averaged between five and six.
Yeah.
So
yep, exactly.
We have to be real. So there is some softness
with
Jaren that is a question going forward. But like I said, John, the ED pick is there for Jaren. You know, you spent a top 10 pick on that.
Mm-hmm.
They liked what they saw at the end of the season.
Yep.
That fits with re-signing Jaren and having him. And so ultimately I think it brings us all kind of back to man, a guy who was at one time Brad's favorite player, Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
If you are Max. Breaking up the three,
no,
and
right.
Zach Kleiman did not commit to keeping them together when he could have shut it down. You look at everything we've just laid out. Bane's the guy that.
Yep.
He's the one you got to move.
But you know, in fairness to Brad, his favorite player was Bane when he was not making $200 million.
It's fair.
I mean,
I also, by the way, didn't say he was a $200 million player. Like I think in Memphis he might be. He might be a max player minus the bonuses in Memphis because you had to pay him that to lock him up and make him happy in your view because of his first 3 years under that offense. And by the way, that's a big part of it. Like, you've been jacking with the offense when this guy was successful in it for 3 years, and then you do the coaching change. So I think that I will also add that to the conversation. The jury might be out on the view of the offense and the prism through which we used to see Bane through with compared to this high-tempo Euro quasi half-ass offense that's Sain actually pointed that out in his piece today.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. I mean, I think the Grizzlies were just so euphoric at the time of, you know, everything going on with this kind. It was just like, oh, we're paying Bane. There's just no doubt about it. We're paying him.
We found and they also, if you're signing him as the 30 pick, you kind of pat yourself on the back by saying, well, we found a, you know, late first round max player.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, I mean, they signed him in July 2023. You know, they were coming off that series against the Lakers, and you felt like, you know, all right, if we just have our healthy guys, we can do this. And I thought the piece was really illuminating, though. Like you said, there was, I think, some real agenda on the Jaren thing because he drafted him.
Yes.
But the league execs being seemingly right, so mm-hmm. so in units. Yeah,
I mean, at least, the ones that Hollinger
he wants to know.
It's
what he didn't
that,
say is how many no, you still got to do it.
And it's possible that Hollinger asked the executives that he knew would give him the answer that he was looking for, right? I mean, It's hard to necessarily know.
It feels like he's made the decision too. To your point,
oh yeah,
quote the guys that
yeah.
roll with it. The jaw is the thing you got to move.
Yes, but
and if that that would be my guess on his opinion.
Yes, but it was it,
the way
you
this
know,
was written.
It was just definitely it was illuminating in that you know there's a part of it where he asked you know sort of what's next right. Where do the Grizzlies go after, you know, after all of this? And, you know, he's actually pretty high on them. He kind of compares it to Cleveland potentially. Like people thought the Cleveland, and I get what he means, because if you go back to last year, it took them 7 games to beat the Magic in the first round.
JB.
Then they.
They also went and got Atkinson.
Right. They made a good hire.
Who really modernized their offense.
But the Grizzlies have a chance to do that very thing. They have a coaching search to do, you know, you lose in 5 games with the Celtics. They got humbled last year, and I'm sure that they were probably having very similar conversations in Cleveland. Like
their roster is better than our core.
It is.
Their
it
core is better than our core.
It is better. It is,
Mobley has
no doubt.
Passed Jaren.
It is better.
That happened this year.
It is better. There is no doubt about that. But he says that. He acknowledges that. Like, he acknowledges that.
But you're right.
Cleveland has more star
power. It
could
go like that. I mean,
he sounds pretty optimistic about the Grizzlies. Like, damn near bullish on the Grizzlies.
Well, I mean, because he thinks Jaren's a perfect player.
Yeah. He said...
everything's going to be all right.
Just kind of to bottom line it, for all that hasn't gone well, the Grizzlies still have a core group in their mid-20s, all their future first-round picks after this June, and a tantalizing pick swap in 2030 with the lesser of the Suns or Wizards pick. Sans Smart, their salary cap is almost too clean to the point that they might want to re-sign Aldama just to have a tradable salary moving forward. Again, does that mean contender? Probably not. I don't care about a 2030 pick. I guess that could be a piece to trade.
Yes.
Because there's no reason to...
Because the rest of the roster does need help, no matter what you're doing with the three.
Can you trade that far out, 2030?
I don't know if you can trade that. Why can't you? You got theirs, right?
That's fair point. That's true.
I thought there's something. Is it 7 or something?
Yeah, it's 7.
7 years? Yeah,
there you go.
I knew there was some kind of limitation on that.
Damn, that's crazy. So you could use that. I mean, that's a big one.
Cause I used to be Harrington's assistant, but then the language, I had to get out. I can't understand this stuff.
You would bet that the Suns, and at this point, the Suns and the Wizards will both be bad in 2030. Like, with the information we have right now.
You think so? Ishby is starting this right now. You think by 20, because he has to blow it up right now, because he blew it the first, you know?
I certainly wouldn't bet that it'd be
it
good.
It could stay bad, but I don't know that it's going to with an owner like that. You know,
I
got to shake it up, because I just messed up.
It's hard to ask for better, right, in terms of you assess a situation. The Wizards are so far away.
No, those could absolutely be good picks.
Unless they get Cooper Flagg, you know, that's going
to
be a...
I'd be looking at them as good picks to help me right now.
Yeah.
In terms of dealing them, like I think Hollinger is.
Yeah, so, again, there's a lot of questions that we don't have the answers to right now. And
we'll get some clarity when Jaren makes All-NBA, because then you have some flexibility.
Yeah.
There. Because, again, that will kick in 26, 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have that 1 year of, you know, capturing.
Jaren on 20-something.
To do
23
something.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah. Good stuff there from Hollinger. And, of course, he's pretty qualified to talk about it.
Now, he might decide he's not taking. If he doesn't make All-NBA, what if he's not taking the other deal?
Yeah, I mean, that's.
That mean very well. Then you want to hit free agency, don't you?
Yeah, probably. You know,
and so then you go into him into his final year. And boy, you're getting dangerous stuff then. Oh, I mean, you can still do it at deadline.
Yeah.
If it's bad, but.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, interesting stuff. Ole Miss is out of the P.J. Haggerty sweepstakes, according to Jeff Goodman. That came down about 45 minutes ago.
Were they ever really in?
They were in.
I'm just going off the rest of his report there.
Yeah, they were
that
in.
That little detail he mentioned about.
That detail is about Chris Beard.
Yeah.
But Ole Miss and Haggerty absolutely had conversations.
Yeah, that just said he wasn't talking to the actual player.
Exactly.
Of course you're not talking to the player,
exactly.
You're talking to his agent.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
or dad.
Around.
You know?
Or dad, yes.
Yeah.
Dad agent.
Just because Ole Miss never talked to Haggerty, there's no reason to have a conversation with a kid until he wants to take the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. It's like that's the business of the game now. We don't, you know, the days of pastor calling you from the labor delivery room where, or the leaving the movie theater to blow you up.
You don't have to convince me. You just have to hit my number, talk to my agent, talk to my dad.
It's really that simple.
That's all you're doing, though.
It streamlined the entire process.
Like, you hate it.
Hey, here's my amount that I expect. Can you get it or not?
Yeah.
All right. And if you can get it, let's talk. Let's get on the phone and let's do this thing. But if you can't, then there's no point in either of us wasting our time. Makes it more efficient, I guess. But no, look, he adds NC State appears to be the clear-cut front runner.
We'll wait.
So, but again, if it, like, I don't think that the PJ Haggerty, family loves the fact that this is, because this hurts their leverage, right? Because if it's just Memphis, who, like, Memphis's offer is what it's been since the end of the season, they're not moving, okay? And Ole Miss is out, and Texas was never in, like NC State and Will Wade are going to say, I'll pay you $100,000 more than what Memphis will pay you. I'm not going to give you $4 million. I don't have to. I don't need to. What's the point? And if you're not going to take my money, then you can, you know, go to Memphis. Let me see a commitment tweet. I want to see that you're going back to Memphis.
If he goes back to Memphis now, it's going to be a log jam with him playing point guard 70% of the time. Old Dante missed his chance getting that portal at that point. Remember, old Dante's your backup point guard, Dougie.
That's right. That's right. So no, I don't think PJ Haggerty.
It's time to move on.
I don't think they played this very well. They probably got in the portal too late.
It's time to move on, Memphis. It is.
I think Memphis mostly has, right? Like Memphis has said, this is what we have. This is what we can do for you.
Yep.
We're not changing it fundamentally. We're not going to beg you to take it. We're not going to, you know, our offer is our offer. Our team is on the floor. You know what we have. You know what we stand for. Like, you either want to be a part of it or you don't. And so I don't think it's a thing where it's like there needs to be like this official, okay, you're no longer welcome here. I think it's just like, yo, you know what this has been. Like, there's no surprises with us. And we're not going to change it. And we're not going to try to, you know. I mean, it's a little bit like the the China and U.S. trade talks. You know, it's like, hey, this is what needs to happen before we start talking.
Right.
You know, we need there to be unilateral tariffs. We need those to be taken away before we start having talks again. And until you do that, we're not going to do it. Now they're balking. Everybody's balking because that's the world we live in. Because we got. I don't know if you've seen this, Jake. The shipments are way down in L.A., mm-hmm. The port.
Oh, the truckers aren't working because the shipments ain't coming in.
So pressure is busting some pipes around here. But it's similar to the high-level negotiations of China and United States trade. All those toys, all those dolls your kids aren't going to have at Christmas, you know, we got to get back to the table. But I think Memphis is just, like, they're not in a position where they feel like they need to blink. They've done it. They've put the offer on the table, and that is what it is, man. I can't beg you. I'm not going to materially change the money I'm offering you.
I mean, you're also come bringing back a guy to turn over the ball 100 times. I'm not going to badmouth him. But
you're badmouthing him.
And you're talking about putting him in the point guard 70%.
I actually say 145%
when you got
Dougie, like the China
and Sincere
tariffs.
Already. And don't forget about a little Dante.
Yeah, Dante, great player. Great player.
No, you don't like him at all.
I think he's
but
actually
he
showed
something to you.
That
we
Temple
convinced
game.
You.
That Temple game when he went
that we
Tyrese
can be back
out.
Up.
Yeah.
It's a former Big East tournament MVP can right. back up a be a backup point guard for the Tigers.
Dude, he got Patrick Ewing like all his money.
We just don't need him shooting.
Yeah.
Just run the team behind little Dougie.
So it's quite the standoff here for PJ.
I'd say just walk away. Time to walk away, Penny.
You want Penny to like release a statement that says we're out?
Well, we got a log jam now. Hell, and
now he is a consensus second team All American. He's better than folks.
Yeah, but he's strung you along here. This should have been wrapped up. Nobody's coming with the four.
Right.
Like you
know, I agree with that. I mean, he definitely
I've already
has
told
done
you I'm giving you the point guard spot. Like,
right.
You know, no, it's not that serious. I mean, there's a world where he goes to NC State and he has a worse year.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
You know? This doesn't get better.
I don't know.
That PJ Haggerty on the ball all the time is 8 turnovers a game.
That's a different. It's a different position.
You know, it could go very poorly for him. I mean, I just think
especially in the ACC
with what he has put to fill it. No, it won't be All American. I'm just saying that's the likelihood.
Right.
But if you get Dane back with what you've put back to replace PJ,
yep.
Sincere and Doug, I like it.
Yeah. No. I mean,
I'm ready to move on.
But you need Dane.
I gotta have Dane. I feel like I'm a top 25 team with Dane.
Yeah,
to
I
be
get
honest
it.
With you.
But if you don't get him,
especially you telling me about Sincere's four straight 30s. I went and looked at his offensive rating that year. You know who's it compares to? It's exactly about the same as PJ Haggerty's last year.
Okay.
So that was him at St. Louis 2 years ago in the A-10.
Yeah.
It's on a bad team,
Sincere. I like it, dude. I like it a lot. Okay. But let me be clear. I'm on a different plane than you on this. I would still like welcome him back.
That's not a different plane. It's just a different position. Yet suggests you're higher than me. Like, that's the better way to – that's the higher way to be here.
Well, I'm higher on PJ than you are.
Oh, okay.
I'm higher on his return.
I'm on a different plane.
I'm on a different plane. You're on a –
You are on what? Delta?
Yeah, I mean –
And you've got me on Spirit. You think I can't understand.
Well, you are wearing a yellow jacket.
What does that have to do with anything?
That's the color of Spirit Airlines, their flights.
He knows.
I don't fly Spirit, bro. I don't fly Spirit. I don't do the yellow planes, bro.
Flew back first class from Chicago.
From Spirit?
No. American.
How did that happen?
The only time that ever happens is when they hit you with the, you can upgrade for 50.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it's basically empty up there.
Right.
So right before.
They charge you 50?
Yes. You have to upgrade the front. They'll still keep you in the back and keep the front empty. But if they can sell those seats,
really,
they'll do it. Yeah.
That happened to me on my way back from San Antonio to Memphis. There was literally nobody on the flight. They just asked me to go sit in first class. They didn't make me pay.
That's because you got the complexion for the protection.
Now, I was flying American. You were flying Delta. That's probably the difference.
They said, hello, white man.
They did. They said, hey, you want to sit up there in the front? I said,
come on up
there
in
front.
Right. That's what Chappelle said. It's different when it's just y'all.
First class.
Everybody's getting loans. Everybody's just handy. It's all giddy. It's all yeses.
Yes.
Come join us.
I said, baby, you got the right one today.
So you just on the plane. She said, come on. A stewardess liked your beard or whatever and said, come on up here.
Uh-huh. She said, I know that you are first class. And you belong in first class. I said, hell yeah, baby. Get me one of them Bruce.
You had your gold out and everything?
I had my gold out. You know what I'm saying?
That's not by mistake. They probably charted you, and you probably have flight points or something.
When the flight is imbalanced, right?
That doesn't happen.
It was a very small flight. Yeah, there was nobody sitting in the front, like you said. That's how. Now, again, he was
charged. How did you get selected, though?
Racially. He was profiled and then charged and then paid.
So
I think that's
what we're learning is if they can't sell these seats, the next step in the price, they go to the white people on the plane. They say, come on up.
There was no way I was paying $50 to sit up front for a 45-minute flight.
Yep. They asked me. It's not like the woman's, I'm on the plane, and they say, pay me $50 to come up. That's something you get like a half day beforehand. They send
I was like literally while I was on the flight.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying.
They got me out of my seat.
That's what I'm telling you.
Once they haven't sold those upgrades to me and they still have no one in, yes.
They then go to the Johns on the plane. Not the Jasons. And they bring him up to the front for free.
That's how it happens.
What was it? Delta.
It was on American.
American. That's who I have my damn credit card with.
That's crazy. But you don't fly American, though.
I pay $50. What are you talking about? That's who I just got the first class with.
Oh, I thought it was Delta.
$50 bucks.
Wow.
That is crazy. Hey.
You should see these white men in here seeing it, y'all.
It's
like a revelation.
You should
see Brad's face. No, I'm just saying. When it gets in front of you, it's like these guys, it's like an epiphany. It is.
It's not epiphany. People are profiling, clearly.
And this
clearly.
Is the same airline that charged me, but has never come to me when I haven't done this, and they got empties up there and said, come on
now
up.
Now, that's
like
crazy.
Like they did you.
Hey, it's
I ain't even never seen that.
Profile.
You know why? Because I'm in the back of the plane.
Now,
they put me in the back.
That's a sign.
I'm in 26.
You picked that.
No, I didn't pick it. I don't pick seats. They make you pay extra for that now.
That is crazy.
They put my black ass in 26.
Bad.
And I can't even see them moving the white folks up front.
They blocked it off.
It's too far up. I can't see it.
It's a front.
These basically Rosa Parks.
I mean,
but Rosa didn't get the option to even sit up front, in fairness, for $50.
She would have taken it, though, if they would have asked.
I don't know. $50 back then was a lot. But it's definitely not African-American Airlines. That we know. I mean, it's American. It's American Airlines.
I'm pulling out my credit card. I'm thinking about cutting it up. The AA advantage.
Just because
they it's not an advantage for me, is it, Brad?
No, it's a dis. It's the
it's a disadvantage. Brothers.
AA disadvantage.
We charge you. We let John up free. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Right on the back.
Yeah.
I had read the fine print.
I mean, I'm sorry to like, but I do think you deserve to know the truth about what happened, bro. I didn't want you out here.
Well, I had to uncover it because you certainly didn't deliver. I mean,
it wasn't that big a deal to me.
Enough about the system and American,
right.
to know what they were doing.
Yeah,
we put
it
together.
Thanks
to your experience and mine, comparing the two experiences.
Now, if you would have said no to that 50 and a bunch of other people said no to that 50, they would have had to do what they did with me.
Yes, that's what we found is the next step.
That would have happened for you. Maybe that is still possible.
It's not happening because, again, I'm in the back. I was in the back. I've never seen that process.
I was in the very back.
They came and found you.
They walked past people to get to you?
Yeah, probably walked past black people.
Probably.
I think so. I think it's hard. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of black people in this country. It's inevitable. They probably walk past to get to me.
How recent was this?
This was on the way back from the Final Four.
Wow.
San Antonio.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is 25.
And I will
2025, this is happening.
White man, black man experience.
And I will say.
Old Golden Spoon Martin over
there. There is really a difference when you sit up in first class, especially for free. Yeah. I mean, especially.
I bet.
I've never sat in first class. My whole life.
I don't even think they didn't. They didn't.
I've done it like twice, but only because of this. I think an upgrade one time hit me as the B rider coming back from one of the. You know,
it looks so great up there. Well, they pass you through.
I never.
I always go,
you just feel like the elite because everybody like you know walks past you and has to go to the back of the plane and then you know you get to get off first. You don't have to worry about nothing.
Even on our honeymoon, we didn't do first class. I kept you know
when Sam and I got married, they actually upgraded us on our way down to Mexico. They did upgrade us to first class
because
we told them we were getting married. We had a dress and everything that we had to because that's how they found out. You know, they saw us carrying the dress. You know, and they were not. I don't remember who we flew.
Didn't do that for Jason.
No, I always do say this. Like it's not, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's just GTBW. It's just one of those things, man. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Are you reaching out to American?
No.
You can DM them.
No.
I didn't know this would be the thing that tore us apart in the end. I mean, we've had a lot of disagreements, but I didn't think this would be the thing.
And my disdain is not for you.
Yeah.
And what you got to experience. My disdain is for the airline that treats us differently.
Man, that's what's, so. Are you gonna cut? Yep. You pay fees on that?
I believe there is a yearly fee on it.
Yeah.
I do get you get bags.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
Which ends up costing if you're going to fly.
No, if you're going to fly a lot.
Fly a few times.
Even Southwest now is doing away with they used to, you wouldn't pay for bags.
If you have the credit card, you get first bag for everybody's flying with you.
Okay.
How many carry-ons can you do? Can you do a backpack and a carry-on?
It's like a carry-on, a personal item, right?
You can
do
a backpack and carry-on.
Okay.
The backpack will go underneath the seat. And
that's
you put
right.
I'm
going to Chicago next week for this convention.
They'll absolutely let you do backpack and carry-on.
Okay. Are you flying American?
I think I'm flying Delta Direct.
Okay, I'm not as familiar with, but I assume like
or United. I don't fly a lot, as you can tell immediately.
But like something like Allegiant will not let you have a carry on. Like you
it's
can
definitely
only,
not that half ass.
You got to check that bag.
Mm.
I believe that is. Or if you do,
it's United.
They don't even have carry on space on the plane.
It costs. That's what it is. They're
charging.
It costs money to do the carry on.
Damn, they're charging for everything,
which is like defeats the purpose of the carry on.
If I
got to pay for the carry-on, I might as well just check the thing.
Right.
You know, rather than lug that damn thing around.
Damn it.
But I am sorry that we had to both find out this way.
Well, it's terrible.
Disappointing.
Did you get a good experience while you were up there, though, at least?
I did. T-Shane and I had a good time. I even got his.
Oh,
that's how,
damn.
That's how good I was feeling about
nice.
That I'd paid $100 to upgrade two tickets to first class. Now I feel terrible. I feel like I'm the clown.
No,
because they got that money out of me.
I don't have
somebody. Somebody would have been sitting up there for free.
Had you not bought it.
It wouldn't have been me.
It probably would not have been.
That's the conclusion we've come to.
But anyway, hey, I don't know if we can afford first class with Fade Brad, but we're trying. We're working, all right?
And it's up and down, man. It's up and down.
We talked about it yesterday. We said 1-1 was just Helen Keller's going 1-1. Helen Keller went 1-1.
Yeah.
It could have been 2-0. It could have been 0-2. I mean,
Pistons blew it. They had the lead.
Absolutely blew it. And the Clippers were very lucky or very unlucky not to cover last night, right?
It was 112-105 with 2:35 left.
Insane.
Pistons absolutely were in insane control.
Mm. Totally insane. So we got a weekend's worth of games.
Okay,
though.
Are we doing that?
Like, oh well, we're yes, doing it.
Like even game one,
us,
like the Indiana game one.
We're doing it.
Oh, whatever there's lines head on
for,
straight here.
Whatever
we're doing
there's
it
lines
holy
for,
cow. I guess there's a line out for Indiana.
There's a line
seen
out for all these games okay now. So rest, right, you bet your ass that we are doing it. We got to get you as
get
many games
up
as possible, or down really.
Fair enough.
All right, we'll do that and a lot more when we get back. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM, ESPN? Want to grow your wealth? Better rates on savings and checking? Yeah. Leaders Credit Union is here to help. Boost your savings with a 3.75% APY on their forward plus high yield savings account. You want to earn more on your checking? They got you there, too. Their checking, their Champions Rewards checking account offers 4% APY, which is very good, very competitive. Don't want to invest, don't wait to invest in your financial journey. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to learn more. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial champion. Yeah. Yeah. Is this Dr. Dre on the beat, by the way?
Two Chainz?
I have no idea. It's Two Chainz, bro.
Is this really Two Chainz?
Yeah, this is not a generic beat.
Oh, I thought it was
instrumental. Oh.
It sounds like
it's got
now let
little
me see you leaning rock with it like a boss. You know, that unlicensed joint. You
that's
know what
a
I mean?
Vibe. You heard that song before?
Yeah.
But you can hear it now.
Yeah, I had not heard that song. But thank you very much, Brad, for pulling this out of the catalog.
That's a Jason pick. That's Jason's. I found that in the rotation.
I literally thought this was a
I don't know if there's a clean version, so the
gotcha
instrumental is what we
yeah
got.
Okay, that makes way more because it's the instrumental that throws me off there. All right, yesterday with Faye Brad, we went 1-1. As you mentioned, it was brutal in brutal fashion. We had a real chance to go 2-0, 112-107 with 2:35 left, which, again, another lesson that that's an eternity in an NBA basketball game.
It was a 7% chance to win for New York at that
point. Brutal.
For ESPN analytics.
Brutal. Oh, man.
Supposed to be over.
Yeah, and, you know, then everything that can go wrong for the Pistons goes wrong.
It was really just Brunson.
Brunson hit everything.
11-1 X scoring run to end the game.
Durin split the free throws,
mm-hmm,
you know.
That hurt.
I mean, so that kept it a 2-point game instead of going to three, you know. It just yep kind of changed everything. Cade could not make a shot. They didn't even really get a good offense, honestly, there at the end of that game in the final 2 minutes.
Looked like a team, again, that was nutting up every time it was tight in a playoff series for
that's right
first time being there.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
So that kept us from a 2-0 night in the association. However, there is a new day. There is a new day.
a new weekend.
And a whole-ass weekend.
Tasty.
That's what this
with
is what
new
turned
series
us last week.
It,
this is
it, Brad
was,
helped the whole
was red hot, and 100%. It was the weekend that sunk him.
Yes.
So let's do it again.
So we've got 4 games.
Wow.
This weekend.
I'm going to have to do some overtime work, but I'm ready for it. We'll get it done.
Oh, this is we have 3 games. As
we like
right
to
now
haywire that brain.
So, but yeah. Okay.
Well, 3 is not enough.
No, oh, so it's game 1.
We only got 3 lines?
Yeah, 3 because
Clips, Denver, and tonight's Rockets game, and then game 1 with Indy.
Correct.
That could potentially be Sunday, if not Monday or Tuesday.
Yes.
I was hoping for a few more.
Yes, exactly. Hopefully. So,
all right.
Only 3, but hey, we have we do have, you know, Monday, we have Monday out for game 1 of Knicks and Celtics, but that's Monday. We say Monday for Monday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, we'll have to do that on Monday. So we got 3 games over the weekend to try and fade Brad and get to this shmoney. Let's do it. 16-15 on the year?
Yes. That's
16-15.
Yep.
Which if you're fading him, obviously you're 15-16, slight loser. I think at 16-15, because of the juice, even Brad is losing. So somehow Brad
got two losers.
You have found a way to lose both ways. If yeah you're tailing Brad or you're fading Brad at -110, you are losing, even if you're 16-15. So I do commend you on threading the needle there somehow. All right, 3 games to break down for this edition, the May 2nd edition of Fade Brad. Closeout opportunity tonight. Houston on the road after the convincing win in Houston in game 5. Now at Golden State, where Golden State is a 5.5-point favorite.
Should I be concerned at all about this Steph Curry thumb that we keep talking about?
I think you should be concerned.
Well,
no.
Brad, I
have
mean,
you
listen,
seen it?
Yeah, it looks nasty.
I respect the question. However, this is not a counsel.
I actually can't get counsel before I make the pick. How about I make the pick and then I'll get that thought? I am going to roll with the favorites here in the Golden State Warriors at home, -5.5 from ESPN Bet. And the reason why is because as a Grizzlies fan, I am shell-shocked every damn time we go into that damn place and I see a loser in a game six. So I am picking the same thing against these stupid-ass Rockets. I'm going with the Warriors -5.5.
Yeah, I don't think there is a walking, breathing, living human being on the planet that is going to bet Houston tonight.
Yep.
I just don't. But what I will tell you,
a lot of points.
This number is fascinating to me because Houston closed as a basically, we'll call it 4-point underdog in game four on the road at Golden State. And they covered. They only lost by three. And so now, after they beat the hell out of Golden State in game five, you're saying that this number is 1.5 points higher than it was in the last game they played in San Francisco. Yeah.
Did pull the starters middle of the third quarter.
They did, and I guess that would be one argument.
I'm wondering if they're baking that in.
That would be the only thing that would make sense, that they're going to be a little more rested.
And they know they need to close it out here, right, as opposed to going back to Houston. But I'm not buying all that.
I think
I hear where you're going.
I think Houston's shown that it's like neck and neck with this group. Like, I'm not saying they were going to win tonight, but I don't really want to lay 5.5 with Golden State here. I'm not going to bet it because I'm going to be out tonight. But if I was going to bet it, it would be Houston +5.5.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know it's hard because it's the heart of a champion and all that. But you know, this Houston team, they do not go away. Like, they have not really done that all season.
Can't see a world where Golden State runs them off the floor, and like they did Memphis back. What we made the point. This was the exact same scenario for them.
I think Ime is just
and Memphis beat him
that
to make it
good
3-2.
Of a coach. I mean, I think he will have them prepared. I think he will have them. I mean, he's a champ, you know, basically as well.
He's had him. He really needs to get Jalen Green prepared.
Yeah,
like that's the guy that has to take the step up.
Yeah,
he's had the one good game, and outside of that, he's averaging 8 or 9 points.
I just think it's extremely easy to bet the Warriors in this game. They're at home.
Oh,
it's a closeout game.
Yeah.
It's Steph. It's Jimmy Butler.
It's probably square, but it's square right here.
It's an integrity
pick,
folks.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes square's right.
But you know, we shall see.
I like that little hook you threw, though. I like it a lot because you know I had the Rockets in this series. I would like to see that happen. Maybe we could even
the
win
number
the game.
Might be part of this, though, is what you. What
no,
I'm
John likes the number
the,
more.
The
than
spread that. Is the great equalizer, right? It always is. Yeah. I mean, because if this was a pick'em, then nobody would be betting the Rockets either.
Correct.
Yeah. So they have to try to get some action on the Rockets tonight, and so we've settled in at 5.5. Although that number opened at 4.5, and it is just climb. Right.
The way you the way you handling your beard over there, you say you out of it, but you might not be by tonight. That game tips off.
We shall see. Mm-hmm. We shall. Sinners is a long one, though. It's like 2.5 hours.
Well, I heard.
So I got a.
I heard it's super nasty. I don't think I can go.
Oh,
see
I
it.
Like it nasty.
I don't want to go see it. I'm not going to go see it.
I don't think you should, Brad. It is a little.
It
nasty
might be a little too
you.
Graphic for my eyes.
Might be a little,
really.
Yeah, Ron Olson was describing it to me. I'm like, I am not going.
Well, so
to
it's
see
it, Ron Olson can see it, but not you.
Well, he even was like, it might have been too nasty for me. I'm like, if it's too nasty for Ron Olson.
Well, Ron Olson's like 80, so he doesn't need to be.
When you're saying nasty, you mean the flesh. You mean
you can't handle hanging out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to see men's genitalia and whatnot. You
well,
know,
at this point, I know what it looks like. I mean, I'm 33
I know,
years
I got
old.
One too, bro, but
see
you know
it.
What I'm
you don't want to see it.
There's pretty much nothing that's going to surprise me at this point in my life. You know what I mean?
We got that.
Like the Rockets, I'll be prepared tonight.
Let's go in there and take a look, Brad. See what it looks like.
Little peek, you know
little
what I mean?
Peek-see.
At the vampire peen. Brad said he ain't gonna do that. Dracula D.
Let's get to the pick.
What's the next pick Saturday?
Let's go to game. We got a game seven.
We got one, folks.
Clippers on the road at Denver. Denver -1.5 in the closeout at home.
Okay, so the line on this has been interesting. It opened. And look at me expanding my knowledge as I try to do some color commentary on this pick. It opened with the Clippers -1.5. It has, follow me here, John, moved.
It has.
To Denver's side of the equation here,
-1.5.
What
as they say, crossed zero.
There we have it. So almost even, if you will, and however the home court Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic are on the court. And apparently they fired a bad coach because suddenly they've figured some stuff out. So I'm rolling with Denver. -1.5, folks. Nuggets close out and they move on.
Again, really easy, right, to bet the home team in the game seven with the Jokic. I think the opener was right.
At Clippers minus one, 1.5. I think the opener was correct. And I think they kind of.
They're the better team.
The Clippers are the better team. There's no doubt.
I agree with that.
You know, the issue is, I guess, it's short rest, you know, altitude, going back to altitude. But, you know, my whole thing is like last night was just a perfect example of when Jokic is not absolutely all world level, this team cannot win. They cannot win. And what did he have last night? Like 25? I mean, he had 20 in the first half. They shut him down in the second half.
You also got high-level Kawhi, high-level James Harden, high-level Norman Powell. When those three are all great, because Harden's had some down games in the series.
But, you know, I just don't know how Denver can contain all those guys. You know, like, and I know it's Game 7 Harden, and you know, that's he's never really performed well in those. But he's also, like, never really played with a star like Kawhi on the wing like that in those situations, like, recently. You know, it was like Chris Paul and, you know, Russell Westbrook and Houston, and then, you know, in Philly with Embiid. You know, so he hasn't had a Kawhi that's, like, emotionless. So I tend to believe that the Clippers get it done, honestly. So I'm kind of happy to fade Brad in these spots.
Russ had 14, 10, and 6 off the bench.
Yep.
In that game.
Yep.
It was really Porter, bro. They had 5 from him.
Yeah, yep. He did not play well.
Man, it's either all there or not.
And again, only five second half. I mean, if you're, like, honestly.
Everybody else did their job for the most part.
If you're the Clippers, you just do, Jokic like Dan Hurley did Edie or it'd be the opposite, actually.
Let him get his.
Or you could do that. I mean, I would think maybe just double him, though. I forgot that he did not double him.
Right.
But I would think maybe double him and just force somebody else on that roster to do something.
I mean, Jamal will if you, and Aaron Gordon will if you, but, you know.
Zubats and, you know, a Derrick Jones type draped over Jokic, keep Kawhi on Jamal Murray and force, like, Braun or, Gordon.
Denver has 6 players, bro. Gordon, yep. Porter Jr., Jokic, Murray, Brown, and Westbrook.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.